That's good news. Everybody that makes it will be happy over there, except the folks who fool with the microphone and it's not where it's supposed to be. They might not be so happy. Thank you, Brother Brown. I'd like for these two singers to come on back, because the preacher has a special song that he wants them to sing, wants us to sing. And for those of you who don't know this, the guest speaker this morning is homeboy and wife. She's here. I'll let him handle that part. But he's going to be speaking this morning. And they moved. I don't know what got into them to cause them to move from Richmond, Virginia, and the Church of Christ. But we're delighted to see them with us again today. And they did a lot of driving just to come back and be back home to visit loved ones back here. And I'll let him do the introducing as to what his wife's name is and what his name is. I think he remembers what his name is. Don't you remember what your name is, Brother Royster? I thought I'd call it just to let you know I remember what his name is. And he asked me if we could sing a certain song. I says, I'd let the song leaders do that. I won't take that away from them. And look out. Don't talk. Did I hear? Peace. All is well. We're just glad to be together as brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. But they've come all the way from Texas to visit loved ones and to be able to stay over and to worship with us while they are here. I don't know how long they're going to be here, but they're going to be here. Every service we have, they'll be here. Amen. So he asked me, did we have a song that we could sing a song? He asked me if I could sing a song. I said, I'll let the song leaders do that. I won't take that privilege from them. So, Brother Brown and Brother Burton, come on up, brother, because I don't know that song that you... He didn't say, I'll fly away. I will remember that. What did you tell him the name of the song is, Ronnie? They know it. It's all yours.
We are on a mission for the King. Yes, we are. And he told us to go and spread his name. So we don't have time to do our own thing. We are on a mission for the King. We are the Church of Christ. We are on a mission for the King. And he told us to go and spread his name. So we don't have time to do our own thing. We are on a mission for the King.
From that seat, and him whispering to me with his Texas drawl, I didn't understand that. But we know that song.
Yes, sir.
Including me. Praise the Lord. But I wanted them to go on and have the pleasure anyway. Brother Ronnie Royster. He used to be from Dallas, Texas. I don't know what he's from now. But we're glad to have them back. He'll introduce his wife.
Well, we're in Dallas County, Texas, but we live in the city of Mesquite. And most people, they know Dallas. They don't necessarily know Mesquite. But this morning, because I was given an opportunity to speak, I thought this song was very fitting for us to think of the fact that we are on a mission for the King. And for those of you who don't know me, I am Brother Ronnie Royster. And I have my wife with me, of course, Sister Jada Royster. Amen. And we're both members that were added to the Lord's body here at the Sandy Lane Church of Christ when it was the Deal Avenue Church of Christ. And we're just so proud to call this our home when we're home away from home. And it's been some things that's been in my spirit, and I was like, Lord, how can I best share this with your people? And he gave me the answer. And before I get into the lesson, I'd like us to have a prayer. Let us pray. Oh, gracious Father, we come before our throne of grace as humble as we know how. Thank you, Father, for this day, the Lord's day, that we may gather to worship thee once again in spirit and in truth. We pray, Father, what's transpired thus far has been pleasing and acceptable in thy sight. Ask you, Father, to have me behind the cross, Father, that I would decrease in power of your Holy Spirit will increase upon me, Father, that your word will come forth with power and with conviction, Father, that those who do not know you in the forgiveness of sins may make that decision, Father, to be added to your body before it's eternally too late. We thank you, Father, for all that you have done for us in the past, the present, and in the future. And ask you, Father, to help us always have the attitude of gratitude, Father, because you realize that you didn't have to do all that you have done for us. Help us, Father, as we go into the depths of your word, to glean from your word, Father, and to apply it to our everyday lives so we'll draw closer to you as you draw close to us. As you continue to be with the elders, the deacons, the ministers, Father, and all the members of the body of Christ, as we, Father, study your word and become better Christians today than we were on yesterday. Was in the mighty name of Jesus we pray and ask these things. Let the church say, amen. Brothers and sisters, we learn from the Word of God in three different ways. We have divine examples, we have direct commands, and we have inferences. Upon the pages of inspiration in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, it reads, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." You see, brethren, we must bear in mind that go ye means go me. That's why we're on a mission for the King seems so appropriate. We individually, as well as collectively, are to go into the world and spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, the Great Commission is to be personal. The four gospels were written by four different writers to different audiences. Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 through 8. Mark chapter 16, verses 1 through 8. Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 9. And John chapter 20, verses 1 through 8. They all give a different perspective of the event that occurred just 3 days after the crucifixion of Jesus Christ on that we call Good Friday. In Matthew, Mark, and John's accounts, they share the names of the women who came to anoint the body of Jesus. The accounts also tell of the women being told by angels that Jesus was risen. In Matthew chapter 28, verses 7 through 8, it states, "And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you." And they departed quickly from the sepulchre, with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. Mark chapter 16, verse 7 proclaims, "But go your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him as he said unto you." Luke chapter 24, verses 8 and 9, and then verse 12, shed more light stating, "And they remembered his words, and returned from the sepulchre, and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. Then arose Peter and ran to the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass." When we look at John chapter 20 and verses 1 through 8, it makes it a little bit easier for us. And it says, "The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and said unto them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we do not know where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they both ran together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter, following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also the other disciple, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed." You see, when in the Middle East you have a meal, when you finish your meal, you take your napkin and you just toss it down. That means I'm finished. No, I'm you can just throw this away. But if you take your napkin and you neatly fold it and place it back there, it means I'm not finished. I'm coming back. When he looked in that sepulchre and he saw the linen clothes, the dead clothes that Christ had had on, that had aloe on the body, they had placed over 100 pounds of myrrh into it. So therefore, if they had pulled this clothing off of his body, it would have been blood and a trail to follow. But it was laying there with nobody. And that napkin that had been twirled about his face was neatly folded, letting them know that Jesus said, "I'm coming back." When you think of that, that should give you joy this morning. Brothers and sisters, I've come to realize that a lot of people have the desire to share. They will share money. They'll share food, clothes. Sometimes they even share their spouses. But you know, it appears that people are more willing to share things which are temporal as opposed to things that are eternal. You see, eternal things are things that you can't see. But temporal things that you see are things that are going to pass away. For some reason, we do things backwards. We can take confidence in the words of the Apostle Paul, where he penned in 1 Corinthians 15:58, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." John proclaimed in Revelation chapter 14 and verse 13, "And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. From henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them." You may be wondering, what is our labor? Our labor, brothers and sisters, is to share the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, to a sin-sick and dying world. You see, when we want to feel good, we need to share the good news. This morning, I want to speak on the topic, run and tell that. In the book of Jonah, chapter 1, Jonah was commanded by God to go to Nineveh and to preach repentance. However, Jonah was disobedient and tried to flee from the presence of God. When God commands us to do anything, we need to start moving in accordance to His will. Jonah was tossed into the sea by the sailors on the ship, and God sent a great fish to swallow him. He was in the belly of the great fish for 3 days and three nights. I'm sure he prayed quite a bit while he was in the belly of that big fish. You see, in Jonah chapter 3, once again, God commissions him to go to Nineveh and to preach repentance. Church, Nineveh was a three-day journey from where Jonah was spit up on dry ground by that great fish. But Jonah made the journey in just one day. You see, when God causes things to fall down, He'll help you get into a place where you can do what He wants you to do. I'm sure that if Jonah was in our midst today, that he would explain that I had to run and tell that. He was a reluctant missionary, but he paid his vow to God. In a nutshell, Jonah had to run and tell that which God had commanded him to do. In John chapter 4, verses 1 through 43, we find recorded the Samaritan woman's encounter with Jesus at Jacob's well. Jesus started a conversation with the Samaritan woman. However, she mixed physical things with the spiritual things that Jesus tried to share with her. Jesus spake to her about living water and told her to go and get her husband. She replied, "I have no husband." Jesus told her that she had answered truthfully because she had five husbands, and the man that she was with now was not her husband. Because of what Jesus had told her about herself, the woman concluded that Jesus was a prophet. The woman then wanted to know which of the two locations would be the correct one to go to worship God. Jesus told her the time would come when it would not matter your location because God is a spirit. They that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Amen. The woman told Jesus that she knew that the Messiah was coming. Jesus then revealed that He was the Messiah, saying, "I am He." And you can find Him in Exodus chapter 3, verse 14, when Moses asks, "Lord, who should I say sent me? Tell them, I am that I am." The woman went to the city and said to the men, "Come see a man who told me all that I ever did. Could this be the Christ?" Then they went out the city and came to Him. You know, sometimes we have to get excited about what we're doing and what we're dealing with. Because sometimes it's kind of rough because people are not going to believe me. I don't mind if people don't believe me. Because it's not me anyway that you're trying to see. I want to live my life where you can see the Christ in and through me. And that's what it's all about. Where we run to tell that. Brothers and sisters, did you notice that the woman's views of Jesus changed three times? First, she viewed Jesus as a Jew. That was in verse 9. Then as a prophet in verse 19. And finally, as the Messiah. John chapter 4, verses 39 through 42 proclaims, "And many of the Samaritans of that city believed in Him because of the word of the woman who testified. He told me all that I ever did." So when the Samaritans had come to Him, they urged Him to stay with them. And He stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of His own record. Then they said to the woman, "Now we believe, not because of what you said. We ourselves have heard Him, and we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world." The woman had good news of the Messiah's arrival to share with her fellow men. In other words, she just had to run and tell that. We too should have that type of desire to share the good news or gospel of Christ with a dying world. You see, we have family members. We have co-workers. We have people we call our friends. And they're dying. And the problem is, while they're dying, we sit there and try to give them words of comfort when we need to give them the good news, to let them know that God loves you. He loved you so much he sent his only begotten son to die for you, that you could become his child once again. When I look at what God has done for me, I feel good. I also feel happy, because this world is dying, and day by day, we're dying. We must remember Matthew 6:33 as well as Matthew 10:32-33. In other words, we have to remember that if you confess me before men, I confess you before my Father which is in heaven. But if you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father which is in heaven. In this way, we'll be able to run and tell that. I want folks to see Jesus in me. I don't want them to see Ronnie. I want them to see Jesus through Ronnie. Brothers and sisters, in the book of Job, especially chapter 1, we see four different events in Job's life. In Job chapter 1, verses 13 through 19, we find the four rapid disasters that struck Job's family and belongings. They came alternately from earth and heaven. First was the raiding of his livestock and servants. Then from heaven, the fire of God. Then again from earth, the loss of his camels and servants. And then the climatic blow when the house fell and killed all of his children. During each event, a single person was spared to report or tell the bad news to Job. And I'm sure when something bad happens, we got to get out there and tell somebody. We're going to run and tell that. Well, we have good news from the word of the Lord. So we need to run and tell that. When I think about what God has done, I just feel good. I'm like Jeremiah, like fire shut up in my bones. I can't hold it within. You see, we are saved to serve, not to sit on our hands and twiddle our thumbs. We are blessed to be a blessing. When we have the mindset of Nehemiah, then we, church, have a mind to work. We need to rename our feet. Rename that left foot glory and the right one hallelujah. That way, when we are going through things, we're going to share the news, we got glory and hallelujah on our feet. Therefore, we're not getting tired, we're not getting upset, we're just happy we're able to praise our God. You see, I'm not ashamed to run and tell that. Wherever I go, I want people to know that my Lord, my Savior, loved me and that God has been so good to me. You see, I can tell you beyond a shadow of a doubt that God still heals, he still delivers, and he still saves. I've been at death's door quite a few times, but God has kept me up to this present moment, and I thank him. You see, I know a lot of you looked at me and like, you don't look like you anymore. Well, last year on July 12th, I went in and had bariatric surgery. I had the lap band taken out and they did the gastric bypass. They said, well, your surgery will take 3 hours. Well, being me, I tell my wife, it's never what the doctor says it's going to be. 3 hours turned to 5.5 hours. They said, you'll be in the hospital for 3 days, then you'll probably go home. Well, 3 days turned into 15 days. And during that time, I was at death's door. One of the things that I found out was in February, I went to the doctor. I had some problems in my abdominal section. And I was like, I don't know what it is, but something's not right. This pain, it feels like rocks are hitting the bottom of my stomach. And the doctor had these little small hands, and she pressed, and I almost jumped out of my skin. And they say, something's going on. You need to go and get a CAT scan or x-ray so we can find out what's going on. Well, we didn't find out what was going on because no one ever told me anything. In July, when I had that surgery, the doctor had me drink barium to see if the stomach was doing what it needed to do. They said, no, the new stomach is not functioning the way it needs to because it's leaking from the bottom and the old stomach is leaking from the top. And while he was in there, I said it was the Holy Spirit. It said, re-examine the small intestines. He re-examined them. Three holes, three large holes in the small intestines. The first one, they were able to sew up. The other two sections, they had to cut away and then pull more up to create that new stomach. From February to July, I could have been in the arms of my Savior for eternal rest. Because of the fact that I had those holes there, they were afraid that I had developed sepsis, which can kill you. It poisons your entire system. But a whole week they checked me, and my Lord and Savior said, no sepsis here. When I look back, there was times when during that time I had pain. They say from a scale of 0 to 10, what's your pain level? My pain level could be 0, might move up to 4 or 5. But after 5, that pain level didn't go to 10. It went to like 15 or 16. And all I could do was pray and ask the Lord, help me to bear whatever I have to deal with. Because I realized that it's a method to this, and that from it you're going to receive the glory as long as I keep you first. I had technicians and nurses, respiratory therapists coming in. And we closed the door, and we'd be in there praying. They come in, they see me, they can see my eyes. And they had to give me medicine. One was for nausea, and then because I'd had so many surgeries in the past, my veins had rearranged themselves. They couldn't put a PICC line in up to my heart. They had to put a central line in my neck. So I had three ports hanging down. One was to give me 100 grams of protein every 24 hours. One was to draw blood from. And the third one was to give me medication. And when they come in and see my eyes, they give me medicine, then they go get their IV, and they shoot that medicine in for pain. And I had a tingling in every limb in my body. I mean, it got warm real quick. And I lay in bed and I talk to the Lord for about 15 or 20 minutes. And then I doze off to sleep. And when I wake up, it might be 5 or 6 hours later. And then when I wake up, my pain level would be 0. And I'd stay like that for maybe 2 or 3 hours, then it'd come back. But after that 15 days of being in there, you have to get up and start walking. And I had no problem walking, but I had some complications. So I get up, and they would tease me, say, you know every nook and cranny on this floor. Because I'd be running a marathon walking around that floor. And the doctor who performed the surgery, whenever I have surgery, I would always have my wife come in, and we would pray together. You see, my thing is, I just don't call on God on certain occasions. I realize I need my God every minute, every second, every hour of every day. And so before I go in, my God is there holding my hand. I'm not going to say that I'm holding God's hand, because being flesh, I know sometimes I might get weak and I might drop my hand. I've asked God to hold my hand. He's going to make sure that I'm taken care of. He's going to see me through. And as I went through all of that, it was just so amazing to me, because I wasn't sure when I was going to go home, but whenever I got home, I know it's going to be all right. One evening, my wife came up, and she could see how much pain I was in, and she didn't want to see me crying and stuff. So she went home. And she had a good cry. She talked to the Lord. She's like, Lord, I don't want to see him in pain like that. Whatever your will is, please just help him not to be in pain. She talked. She prayed. And the next day when she came in, thank you, Jesus, I was pain-free. And I've basically been pain-free from that day to this. Because my God is able to do abundantly above all that we asked him to do. I was remembering 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray without ceasing. When you go through something, it's going to make you pray. Sometimes the Lord has things to happen in our lives to make us drop to our knees, because sometimes we get that pride about us and we forget that He's in charge. And whenever you're making plans, make sure you write them down with a pencil. Because if you do it with ink, the God that I serve, He's such a big God, He has a giant eraser. He can even erase your ink. In Luke chapter 11, verses 9 through 10, it tells us, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. We have the love of Christ. We have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus, the work done on that cross. And what we have to start doing is saying, Lord, help me not to be ashamed. Help me not to be fearful. And I can help you with that, not to be fearful. For the Bible teaches us, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. Amen. If you have that, what do you have to worry about? Because you fear not he that can destroy the body, but he can destroy both body and soul. We need to share the love of Christ. And sometimes the only way people are going to realize that you are a Christian is because of your love for one another. They know you are my disciples by the love you have for one another. Sometimes it's easier to show love to a stranger than it is to somebody that you're familiar with. But we had a family enrichment conference down in Dallas this past week. And Brother Stanley Hubbard from the King's Church, Church of Christ out of Indianapolis, Indiana, was speaking. How to love people when they do you wrong. You develop the attitude of, I have to love people because that's what God requires of me. No matter how you treat me, in the end, I have to give account for my actions when I stand before the judgment seat of Christ. So if I treat you right, everything's going to be all right. But if I treat you wrong, then I'm going to have some gate trouble. And I don't want to have gate trouble. You see, when we want to share the love of Christ with others, you might say, how do I do that? You need to get in the herd and run and tell them. When you tell somebody about how good God is, you will see that they was taking interest. Look at what he went through. Look at what she went through. Because when I look back on my life, God has brought me from a mighty long ways. My wife and I coming up in February would be 13 years of marriage. When we got married, I was on 22 medications a day. Now by God's grace, 2. And if I continue on, I'm hoping to see 0 because I know that the Lord loves me. I know there's kingdom work for me to do. I was the minister of the Bernard and Rickerman Street Church of Christ down in Marlin for almost 2 years. And that was a 300-mile journey every Sunday. After a while, the body gets tired. Sometimes your health, toll takes on it because of all that you're doing. So what you have to do is say, Lord, we were singing it earlier, show me the way. Lord, I need your power. Lord, I need you to guide me. Because when you guide me, you give me your power, then everything's going to be all right. I realize that it's not my power, but it's your power. But here am I. Make me a sanctuary useful for your will, for your way, that I can teach others, that I may lead others to you. And that no matter what comes or what goes, that I'm not afraid to run and tell that. If you want to be able to run and tell that you're not a member of the Lord's church, you must hear the word which I've endeavored to share with you this morning. You must believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. You must repent of your sins. You must be sorry that you're going contrary to God's will. You must have a change of mind, a change of heart. This can't change, but this can. Proverbs 23 and 7, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. This is a device that pumps blood, but this is your spiritual heart. So if the mind can conceive it, and with your heart you believe it, with your hands you can achieve it. When you do this, you repent. You have to make the sweetest confession to roll off mortal man's tongue. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. Go down in the water grave of baptism. Come up a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And then just remain faithful unto death and receive a crown of life that fadeth not away. The one thing I've learned is whenever I look at the word of God, I have to go back to the book of Daniel and weigh myself in the balance and find out that I'm a little short. For all have sinned come short of the glory of God. Therefore, Lord, if I'm too low, bring me up. If I'm too high, bring me down. Just have me at a place where you can use me for your glory and your mercy, that you receive all praise and honor that you will do. When I just think about coming to Sandy Lane Church of Christ, I want to do what? Run and tell that. If you stand in either position, if you have sinned brought shame upon the church, we can pray for you. If you want to be added to the Lord's church, raise your hand. We'll come to you and we'll come and bring it down front. That you can let this assembly know that I want to be a member of the church I can read about in my Bible. So I, too, can run and tell that.
Shall we stand?
I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delight. There that a higher things that are nobler these have allured my sight. I will hasten to him, hasten so glad and free,
so glad and free.
Jesus, greatest, highest, God, will come to thee. I am resolved to go to the same, leaving my sin and strife. He is the true one. He is the just one.